stand together. Proverbs 3:5-6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And as we continue in this service, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have complete right away, that you would direct our every thought, our every action, every word, may all be to your honor and your glory. This we ask in the matchless name of Christ. Amen. This grade 100 kids, Jim is waiting for you. Now, the rest of you are going to have to put up with me. But I promised Pastor that there would be at least enough core seed that he could start all over again if he had to rebuild the church. You know, this morning, there is a special privilege. We have guests here in the service from quite a ways. And we're thankful for all of our visitors this morning, wherever you're from. But we have Margaret and her husband and two boys all the way from Brazil are here this morning. And it's so great to see you, darling. And, I think the last time I seen her husband, they were still in college at Nampa. I've seen Margaret a couple of times since there. Now, I understand she's on her way to Washington, D.C. to receive her doctoral degree. Praise the Lord! Great. It's great, to a sense, to know that someone's a lot smarter than we are. But thank the Lord. All right, let's look at God's Word. And, everyone knows I am somewhat of a storyteller, and so I'm going to give you part of the story. You know, thank God, today we're celebrating, or we celebrated yesterday, independence, 239 years ago. That independence was declared from England, and thank God for the freedoms that we've received, and that, but we're going to talk about freedom in a little bit, and especially as we prepare our hearts for communion. You know, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. I did, we don't have an overhead. So you're going to have to use your Bibles. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Familiar story to the kids. And, I trust that if the kids can grasp it, maybe we as adults will be able to get a little bit out. We read in 1 Samuel 17 the story of one of the great struggles that the children of Israel had. And there was a problem, and Israel had gathered themselves together, and the Philistines have gathered. One's on one mountain, the other's on another mountain. There's just a valley in between. Now, they didn't come out to do battle like we do. You know, we go at it right off the bat, or maybe before the bat, and we start banging away. But they gather every morning, and they prepare for battle, you know, all ready to go. So they were gathered, and there's a spokesman comes out for the Philistines, and he said, you know, this is kind of crazy. Here we are, and we get into this thing, and somebody's going to get blood all over them, and maybe someone might die. And tell you what, let's do to lessen the bloodshed and get this over with, and it'll be an easy task. You select one of your boys that's a pretty good fighter, and let him come out, and the two of us will fight, and if I kill him, then you'll have to be our servant. But if he kills me, we'll be your servants. And we'll get rid of all of this shouting and all of the rigmarole we've been going through, and we'll get this over with. And he'd speak, and they'd get ready for battle, and they'd hear him, and they'd head back up the hill again. And the scripture says that this went on for about 40 days. You know, if you're going to go to battle, don't get too anxious. You know, and the scripture says that they would flee terrified. And we think, well, hey, you know, that sounds like a pretty good solution to the problem. If I can get ready to go and I can just sit back and watch, that's going to be a lot easier on me. It might be a little tough on him, but, you know. And so it looks like maybe we got a solution until we look at the fellow that they sent out. And we read about him in that 17th chapter. And beginning with verse 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span is about 9.5 feet. Now, I'm assuming that that's a little bit higher, probably about the bottom of the speakers there. Now, if I'm fighting somebody that big, or even one that's only the bottom of this here, I'm going to be thinking twice about it. No wonder they're running in fear. We read a little bit about the little fella. He had on a helmet of brass about his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Now, I couldn't find out how much a shekel weighed, but it wouldn't have to be very heavy if 5,000 of them are on your armor. So we got 5,000 shekels of brass. He had on greaves, and that was some more armor, and that was layered, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulder. Now he carried a small shield in his arm, but before him, and so the fellow's got a little headroom there. He's got a full-size shield that he carries, that he goes out before Goliath. Now, this is going to be kind of a lopsided battle if it goes through. So, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and that was probably about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. And the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. He's pretty well covered up. The picture is that all of Goliath that is exposed is just above his eyes and around, and probably part of his nose. Now, if I'm going out to battle someone that big, he's covered in iron and brass, and maybe I've got some of the same weapons, there's going to be a problem, I'm afraid. And so then we find here, there, they've been going out, they've been doing this every day. And so the fellow Jesse, who has 3 sons that are in Saul's army, sends his youngest son, who's at home taking care of a few sheep. He said, you need to, the fellows have been gone for a period of time now, and I want you to send some corn and some cheese and stuff over to them, and I want you to take 10 little blocks of cheese and give it to their captain that he can share with the rest of the company. And I want you to go see how things are going, if the fellows are all right. So enter the picture, a young lad about 17 years of age named David. And he comes and he gets there in the morning just as Goliath is spouting off, and he's cursing the armies of Israel by his God. And David, he's running up there to see what's going on, and his brothers, first thing they do is get on his case. You just come here, you want to see the battle. And he said, well, did you hear what he's saying? He's saying this about all of you and about our God. And he is really upset. And his brothers are upset with him. And but he goes to Saul and said, I'll fight him. 17-year-old, no weapons. And Saul said, but you're just a kid. This guy, since he was a kid, and he's got many years, he's been a warrior, a fighter. Well, from the size of him, he probably didn't lose any battles. And David said, we cannot let this 15 years, we can't let him defy our God. So Saul said, okay, here's my armor if you want to try it on. And David, he gets into the armor and he starts to go towards the battlefield, and he can't hardly walk, let alone go into battle. So he peels the armor off and said, that's all right, I'll take care of the problem. And out the tent door he went, and down, and he starts down the valley, and he comes to a little stream there, and he stops at the stream, and he's looking there on the edge, and he reaches down, and it says he selects 5 little stones. And he's got his little shepherd's pouch there, and he puts them in there and heads on down the valley, down toward the battle. Goliath is watching, and you know, he is looking at this young fella, and his first thought is humor. I'm thinking that, what's this kid doing out here on the battlefield? He's going to be in the road, and he's likely to get hurt. And then he starts into his spiel all over again, and cursing the army of Israel, and he's probably adding in, because do you think this kid here, he's a good looking kid, I hate to bloody him up, but do you think you're going to send him to battle me? And then his humor turns to, he's getting pretty mad. You know, this isn't going to be a battle. I mean, certainly you need to prepare yourself. We're going to slaughter you. He is really angry that they would consider even such a thing as sending this young fella out to do battle with him. And so we read on a little bit, and let's look, beginning with about the 40th verse. And this is talking about David right at the moment. And he took his staff in his hand, and he's got his shepherd's staff with him, and it's probably maybe an inch and a half in diameter, and it's got a little crook in it that he can use if he needs to guide a sheep. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a strip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine come out and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou camest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day under the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, you know, it tells about David going with a sling. And usually we think about a slingshot as thick with a V and a little portion of handle and two rubber bands and maybe a little pouch. The shepherd's sling of that day was had leather thongs about so long with a little leather pouch. Now, if you can think, especially the fellas, when you were younger and maybe you had a slingshot, how accurate you were with that, think about how accurate you would be if you had a rock in two pieces of leather and you're swinging them around and letting that rock go. And I, a few days back down the line, I tried the shepherd's sling a number of times. And, you know, if I would have been inside the room like this and using that sling, I probably would have been able to hit somewhere in the room. Now, I wouldn't know where, because any time I tried it, I never hit the same spot twice. And so here is David going out. All he has is a sling and his staff. He's got a man is 9.5 foot tall. I mean, that's at least he's got a pretty good sized target. But that target is all covered up. And the only spot is right there that's exposed. Now, somebody had to have a lot of confidence in themselves. You know, and when David first went out to talk to King Saul about battling David, and Saul said, "You're just a kid, you can't do anything." He said, "Well, I tell you this, I was out there with my dad's sheep, and here comes a lion, and I killed him, and I grabbed him by the beard and slew him, and I had a bear come and tried to take my sheep, and I was able to do him in. This giant didn't do anything." And so we continue. As David speaks, said that all the earth, and this is in the last part of the 46th verse, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. Now he is going ahead in fear, said he's on the run toward the giant. And ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone, get it right pretty quick, sunk into the fort, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And then we read on how Israel prevailed and slew a mighty host of the Philistines. The message is not how great David was. David was used of God, and David recognized that he wasn't doing anything in his power. He was doing it in the power of God. You know, as you and I go out, we all, every one of us, has some giants in our life that seem, some problems that seem to be insurmountable. You know, maybe it's fear and most all of us, sometime or another, have some fears. Most of the time, our fears are ungrounded. I fear what's going to happen tomorrow. And we know right now our country's in turmoil, and we're hearing so many things, and we're torn this way and that, and the thing with going on around the world with the fightings and nation rising against nation, this weekend. They've been worried that there might be a ISIS strike somewhere in the United States. And it doesn't bring a very comforting thought. And for many, it brings almost paralyzing fear for what might be. Maybe the giant in your life is a habit that you just can't seem to break. If I don't have that habit, I may, if I'm not careful, I might condemn you because you got a habit. I may have one that's worse than yours, but that's fine. Maybe the giant that you're facing right now is finance. some giants when it comes to finance. I faced off and on some severe financial problems. Thank God that my church years ago helped me with several $1,000s worth of medical bills that surely had to incur. And I found that, a lot of my financial problems could be solved when I worked out a budget. And I happen to be on this clipboard. I have about 10 or 12 years of budget on there. It helped me to go from dead broke poverty to just poverty. That's a step up. But that can be a real giant when we're facing it, Shirley was fine Tuesday night at soup, and so you that were here know that she was hither and yon, and everything was fine, and when we got home after every cleanup was done, she was a little nauseated, and she had been that way for a couple, 3 days, off and on, nothing real serious, but just a little twinge. And Wednesday morning, she got out of bed and come down into the living room about 5:30, and she said, "I can't stand this, I've got pain, can't stand," and was up under her ribs, and I said, "Well, I'm going to call the clinic and see if we can get you in to see the doctor this morning." "No, I'm not going to the clinic. All they do is charge me, and they won't do anything anyway." Janice and I prevailed, but I called the clinic to see about to get into a doctor, after a couple brief episodes, the receptionist that answered the phone said, "Well, what's her problem so I can pass it on to the doctor?" And I told her, and she said, "Would you wait a couple minutes? I'm going to see if I can find one of the nurses and have her talk to Shirley, and so she can describe a little bit more what's going on." And she came back on the phone, and it was probably a couple minutes later, and she said, "Can you hold just a little bit later? I haven't been able to find anyone yet, and I want to go again." And a couple minutes later, she came back on the phone, and she said, "I want you to hang up." And she said, "I'm calling 911, and I think that we better have the medics come to your house and check Shirley out." And because she has had a history of heart problems, this was their thinking that she's having a heart attack. And the medics got there, check her out, and heart seemed to be fine. And they took her into emergency, and we were in there about six and a half hours, and they kept cutting up with one problem, and she kept denying that, "Can't be, can't be." And of course, when I said I was going to call the doctor, no, I'm not going to go see the doctor. And then when they were ready to haul her into the emergency, no, I'm not getting in that ambulance. But she did. Thank the Lord. Thank God for everyone that had a part, for the medics and the staff at the hospital, and they were super and trying everything they could to take care of the problem, and it kept turning up one thing, and she said it can't be, and they said, well, and so they shipped her to Seattle, and still the same problem kept turning up over there at the hospital. That was Wednesday night. The surgeon come in and said we're going to do surgery first thing in the morning. And she's still vowing that, no, it isn't the problem that you keep telling me it is. So they did the surgery, and we come back and told her, well, believe it or not, we were right.
Why did she think she didn't have a gallbladder?
Because she'd had gallbladder surgery 45 years ago. It had been supposedly removed, but they did not remove all of it. So she was right, and they were right. Thank God, and thank God for all those at the hospital. He folded her in over there, and loved her just like our church family here. One of the nurses, and I had to meet her just as she was going off shift, Shirley said every time she come in, come over and give her a big hug. Young lady, beautiful young lady, and all of that treated her, and the doctors and the nurses and all were so kind. And thank God for that, Thank God, as you and I battle all of this, and we'll get back a little bit toward the issues. As we battle the giants in our life, we're bound. And Jesus spoke about it when he was talking to the Pharisees and in the 8th chapter of John, we read these words. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. They're saying, oh, why, we're never in bondage to anybody. Well, they were certainly in bondage to sin, and Okay, if I'm not in bondage, how come I'm under the rule of the Roman government? You know, but thank God this morning. And as we begin to prepare our hearts for communion, thank God this morning, you and I can be completely free. We can be free from our fears. We can be free from worrying about our finances. We can be free from worrying about our habits. We can be free from those. You know, before I accepted the Lord, I had quite a problem. I was smoking about 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I couldn't afford them, but that habit really had a hold on me, and the alcohol had a pretty good grip. I was not quite to the place of being an alcoholic, but I wasn't very far down the road. But when I accepted Christ, asked Him to come in and cleanse me from my sin, and I asked Him to cleanse me from the habits, I vowed that I'd take my last drink. And that was about 62 years ago. And to my knowledge, now I've been at some weddings. The alcohol-free punch might have been questioned. But to my knowledge, I have not had a drink of alcohol. I've had absolutely no desire. Now the Lord knew that I really had a problem with tobacco. Now He helped me through it, but He made me battle it for a couple of years. Now, I took about 3 drags off the cigarette about 2 days after I accepted the Lord. Didn't taste that. Now, I battled the urge for quite some time. And I was working construction work and around construction men and loggers and big box guys, and they stayed around ready to have their cigarette. Now I had no desire for the smoke, and now I probably, in that first year, I probably ate about a ton and a half of lemon drops, because I carried a pocket full of lemon drops, and if I had anything that looked like an urge or those that would start to light up, instead of reaching in my pocket and getting a cigarette, I could get a lemon drop and pop it in my mouth. But God helped me through that. And there again, I know that I only took a couple, 3 puffs off 1 cigarette in that 63 years or 62 years. But God can free us, not through our determination, but He can free us because Jesus went to the cross and poured out his blood to make it so that he could free us from sin. And this morning, as we prepare for communion, you know, the scripture said that he gave them the cup and he gave them the bread. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And as often as you do it, you remember me. And this morning, as we prepare our hearts, maybe some of it, you've got some giants in your mind that need to be slain. Can't do it in your own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Our country fought for independence, and thank God for that, and for our country. I don't know as we have much independence, but we have a little more than some. But with Christ, we can be absolutely free from the bondage of sin. As we turn to Him, as we allow Him to work His will in our life. Jesus said, and there were those that named the name of Christ. And they said, Lord, why, we've done this and we've done that, we've done something else, and we are really great. And he said, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity. You may have done a lot of things and claimed them in my name, but you haven't claimed me. And this morning, if you haven't, you may be busy. And you know, I recall one man that for years. Now he really didn't claim to be a Christian, but you know, he was a fantastic worker in the church. And then certainly if he could have claimed eternal life by his good works, he'd have had no sweat. Now thank God, just before he died, he gave his heart to God. He took a maximum crisis in his life. And when he passed away, he was on his deathbed, and he'd been completely bedridden for about 6 months. And I was about 14 years old. And went into his room, my parents and I, and he, after he talked to my parents, and he called me over to the bedside, and he was already arriving. He said, Chuck, give your heart to the Lord. Don't do what I did. I've wasted my entire life. And when I accepted him, I was
completely incapacitated and unable to do anything for him. And you know, only eternity will tell what that 6 month period of his life will mean, because through that period of time, I don't know how many people had later given the heart to the Lord. But, you know, I went through a time that it bothered major crashes in my life. And I was ready to lose my family. And, you know, my wife was headed for the divorce court. She'd taken all she could take. I had two little babies at home. And, you know, thank God for His Holy Spirit to begin to deal with my heart. He said, "I'll set you free." He said, "Now," and certainly He deals with each one of us differently. But you know, He put a condition on us. He said, "If I set you free from your sin," said, "you remember back down there about 5 years ago? I tried to get your attention and you called your praise. You didn't want any part of it." Said, "If you're going to do my will," and he said, "unless we do His will, we're not going to inherit eternal life." He said, "If you're going to inherit eternal life, you're going to have to do my will. And doing my will means you're going to have to preach the gospel." How I grew that 5 years between then and the time that I gave him life, because it took me 10 years before I was able to prepare and begin preaching the gospel. Thank God He's still using me. You know, I beat it in your discomfort, but, you know, first part of last month, I had the privilege of two weddings. One was just, we helped a couple celebrate their 50th anniversary, which was the first couple of them married. And then 50 years later, I was able to perform another, and I thought that's probably be the last, and a week later, we were involved in another way. So God is still using us a little bit. Thank God for that. He wants to use you. First of all, He wants to free you. True freedom. And as we come to that, you know, maybe you don't feel free this morning. Maybe you are sensing that I've got some needs that need to be met. I'd like us to bow our head and have a word of prayer. And if you need to ask Christ to come into your heart and forgive, you know, thank the Lord, He forgives and He forgets. We'd invite you, as we pray, if you would pray and ask God for His forgiveness, and then as we celebrate communion, we can all really know freedom. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you that you are here with us. We thank you, Lord, for the kind attention of everyone. And oh Lord, we pray that there might be those that would get the true message of your deliverance. We thank you, Father, that we have the story of David, and we know that it's one of the children's favorites, and sometimes we kind of get mixed up a little bit, and we think of, oh, how great David was, and certainly he was great, but he was great because. And sometimes we confuse that message. We thank you, Lord, that through you we can be delivered. And through you, we can have complete freedom and independence through Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, if there is one here and we don't know a single soul that what their spiritual needs are, but you know all about each one of us. You know the things that trouble us and are a burden and seem like an insurmountable giant. But Father, we thank you that you've said that there is nothing impossible with you, that you can help us with every problem. You can slay all the giants in our path. And you can give us complete freedom. And so, Father, we pray that you would move in our midst. And as we prepare our hearts to receive the communion, we pray that we each one might do it, remembering that the terrible price that Christ paid, that we might be free. Father, may we be able to picture in our minds the terrible scourging that he went through, and how his body was torn by that terrible scourge, and as that crown of thorns was put upon his head and then smashed down, may we somehow sense the pain and the agony of those things, and we think of the things that, the little things that humiliate us, and think of the terrible humiliation that he, the Son of God, went through. And as we see the scene in the garden, as we read that as he agonized over what was to come, and knowing that what he was going to go through, he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, please let it be so. And he said, Lord, Father, not my will, but may your will be done. And we read as he prayed, his prayer was so intense that Scripture said he sweat great drops of blood. Oh, Lord, may somehow be able to recognize the price that was paid that we might not have to pay the price of sin. Oh, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death on the cross. But it wouldn't have been enough if you just gone as a thief or robber and gone to the cross and died. Thank God he rose again and he said, because I overcome death, as you accept my sacrifice, you too one day will be able to rise above death. And Father, as we take these next few moments, we pray that your Holy Spirit will direct every thought and every word and our actions. And truly may we remember and merit, may we glorify you and may we glorify Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, Elder Stein. Chapter and beginning with the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till it come. As we think of that and what lay ahead for Jesus. And you know, I don't know how you would be if you knew everything that was just ahead in your life. I think it'd be kind of scary, and especially if I knew that in just a few hours I was going to have my back bare, and I was going to have a whip, and we're told that it had a short handle and it had nine leather thongs with bits of bone on the end of those thongs. And one would take and snap, and those bone bits would dig into the flesh, and then they would jerk, and with each time, bits of flesh would come from the back. And Jesus knew that that was about to happen. That after that was done, and then there would be that crown of thorns placed upon his head. And then and we're told that this particular plant that they used had a thorn that was about 3 inches long. And to have that gouging into his head, the excruciating pains that he went through. And he went through them realizing that it was about to happen. Now, I don't know how you are, but I probably died before the first life hit my back. Because of trouble. But Jesus endured that for you and I. And he took the bread and he said, "This is my broken body. This is my body that's broken for you." Thank God he was willing to pay that price for you and I. And true freedom. Christ still would have been willing to pay that price for me. How we love this so much. And thank God he still loves us. And he's still calling. I want you to come home. I want you to be mine. I want you to have the very best. Thank God. Thank God for this that symbolizes his shed blood for you and for me. And you take it together. Father, as we have partaken of these elements in the body, your body, your shed blood, oh, how we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We don't really comprehend it, Lord, but oh, how thankful we are for it. We pray that
this morning you would be with each one here. You know every heart. And certainly you know every struggle, but thank God you promised to be with us through all our trials, all our struggles, all our temptations. And if we walk with you, we can be assured of eternal life. We thank you for that this morning, Lord. And we pray that you would bless, you would keep each one in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.